I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living, amen, sanctuary before make me a sanctuary. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading at in Revelations 3, 14. We'll read 14 through 22. Revelations 3. Just remember the Lord willing, Brother Richard Wilson will be with us this coming Wednesday. And then remember, this coming Sunday will be our Christmas time together. These announcements have been made. And we'll come together in fellowship. Won't be but one service now next Sunday, because we'll just take the afternoon and can fellowship together and have a good time sitting around talking. And then Brother Forney will be with us on the 19th. So just remember that. Yeah. We want to thank Sister Gail. I keep forgetting it, so I wrote myself a note. If I don't do it, I'm sorry. But I thanked her personally, but I always forget to thank her for the flowers and the thing that she always puts in. And she does a beautiful job of everything, you know, of putting in the flowers for the different seasons and things, and we certainly do appreciate it. It's a part of hers, but she loves to do it, so that's her doing. I guess that's her job, if you'd call it, is just to decorate the church with the flowers, but we appreciate it. Revelations 3:14. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. We thank you for all things, and we know that you give us all things freely. We just praise your great name for it. We pray that you would help us to understand and just speak to our hearts and guide each and every one of us. Lift us up in you, Lord, and that you'd direct our thoughts into what's to be said this afternoon. We know that your word is true and forever settled. As we said this morning, it's a positive. It's nothing negative. It's always a present tense form. So just have your way now. Come and speak to our hearts and guide us in Jesus' name. Forgive our sins and lead us in your love. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Revelations 3. I want to read the whole thing, that little message I've been thinking on since the beginning, but I decided to wait to the end to speak on it. But we'll read the entire message to the church at Laodicea. Revelations 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I've been basically just covering just take the salutation, you know, the revelation to each age, and then completing that, you know, or going so far in that, and then we go down to the overcomer or the reward to, you know, the age and time. And I'd left this part that I want to speak to you about, and like I said, I decided I'd hold it until the last to speak on it, because we're on the last age. And but what I want you to see is this point, that if you get nothing of the message, get this part. We look at the ages, we read them, you know, we read each one, and we're real bad to think that, well, this is the Laodicean age, so we read what is to this age, you know. All right? And that's fine. That's good, because we want to find the age that we're in. All right? But we don't read the Bible as, to me, see, then the ages, as I told you, we inherit what each age previous has. So we inherit those things. But we also, each church age also inherits the bad that comes down. You know, what'll start out as a little deed, over in a few more church ages becomes a doctrine, and then over a little bit it comes a law. See, each one, it keeps getting worse and worse and worse until we come to the age that we're in, see, which is the last age. But here's the point I want you to see. We read the Bible and we think, well, this is to me, but this part's not to me. You know, that's not me. Because we don't want to associate with some of the parts, you know, that we read. And we don't want to declare that that could be us. You know, we want to just pick out the part we want for ourselves. But now, the entire Bible to me is written this way, but especially here, and we'll get to it this afternoon, in the church ages, it is dealing with the churches, because it says as to each church age, the Spirit is speaking unto the churches. See, you say, well, this part here, verse 1, you know, we say verse 3 is the false and verse 5 is the true. But that's not so. It's not so. It's all written together as to one church. But it says churches. But it's all to one church. Alright? Now, the thing we've got to do is to find out which side we're on. Alright? See, that's the whole point of the message. Because like I said, we say, well now, I can read this, this verse applies to me. But I don't like this verse here. It doesn't apply. Well, see, that might be the verse that really applies. And the point I want you to see is when we're reading the church ages, and it'd probably just be a good thing to read them, because I didn't do this as we were going through, so let's just read a little bit this afternoon, and read the church ages. But the point is now, and then we'll get back to the prophet and prove that God is speaking, and when he speaks to both true and false vine. All right, now, and he's speaking about both true and false vine. Now, the only way that we'll know whether it fits or not of what we're doing, the salutation is easily to understand that they get the message. And I gave you a quote at the end of it where that every church age gets the message from their messenger. See? And the messenger of that age, now he's speaking to true and false vine. See, we want to think, no, he's just speaking to he's speaking to true and false vine. Right. Now, that's why that you have the message like it is of Brother Branham. He was saying one time, he said, you don't have to tell the bride but one time. He said, they don't have to hear it but one time. He said, then they'll line up to it. All right? But then you hear him over here constantly preaching to the Branham Tabernacle about the dress, the hair, the clothes. Right? When he said, you don't have to tell the bride but one time. So I'm sure the Branham Tabernacle would all like in that days to have said, oh, we're all bride. We're hearing what the prophet has to say. But see, it's always been and always will be that there's make-believers, true believers, and unbelievers, the prophet said, in every congregation. Now, that'd be hard to believe if we had some of the groups like some in the message that only got three people. I mean, you just have to have a drawing of sticks to see who belonged what, you know, I guess. But when you come like we do and you got 80 or 90 people, you know, that you're dealing with, I didn't make that statement. I mean, the prophet made it. Now, I believe the closer we get to the end of this thing, the more of the make-believer and the unbeliever are going to weed out themselves. So it's no good for me to try to figure out and say, well, now, there it is, Sister Trudy, she's a believer, because look how long she's been driving, you know. Look what she's been doing. So we got that figured out, you know. And there's Joyce. Now, she's somewhere in between, you know. We hadn't figured her out yet because she's hard to deal with. And there's old Brother Joe. We don't know exactly. See, what good is that going to do any of us? Right? That's going to be to each individual to find out what we are. That's my whole point. Now, if you miss the message, if you go to sleep, you miss the whole message, that's the point of the message. God speaks to the true and the false at the same time. It's like we've always tried to emphasize it, that He offers salvation to everybody. He just doesn't come down and say, this salvation is for the bride only. Now, that may be true, but God doesn't do it that way. He always speaks, just like He did with Judas. He never, there's not a record in the Bible now, it's in the Bible. He might have had private interviews with Judas, but there's not a record in the Bible where He had ever said anything derogatory about Judas until the last hour in the upper room. And then all He said is, go do what you're supposed to do. One of you going to betray me, you know. And that was all He said. But see, my point is, we try to figure out things instead of just taking the Bible, reading the Bible, and see that it fits us. Right? And see if we have any of these things within our lives. Instead of wanting to jump down to the overcomer. Because now here, I hope you'll listen to, you that have missed them, I hope you'll listen to, especially last Sunday and then this past Wednesday's message. I'd invite you, please, to listen to them over and over and to try to get a point, because my point was this. We are the only age that comes to a revelation and a reality and manifestation of the age that is there. Because we come down to the end of it. We're going to be the end of all things. This age is going to consummate with us becoming what it says we are, and then that's going to draw everything else with it. The other ages would have loved to sit in this situation, but they have theirs. Each age has an overcomer. Each age has a bride. But each age had a false vine also. The false vine, you think, is something you see. No. It's so close. Until only through the opening of the Word, the revelation of the Word, now as we're talking about this morning, will you be able to see the difference. And still be careful, because you could judge someone as to be of a false vine, because they don't agree with you. It might not be that they don't agree with the Word. They might agree with my way of presenting it, you know, or something. So we leave everything open. But let's just read the ages now. And, you know, the message to each age, I know it's lengthy, but still, think about, this is to us because we inherit all things. What applies to the first church age applies to right now. They left their first love. Be careful. You can lose your first love. That's the one thing that I see. That's why I held these. I could have preached on it, but I chose not to, because you know, maybe wait until the end, because you start dealing and you're not getting the point. My point has been driving hard, and I know I do. The message to the age, the salutation, then the overcomer, and how that overcomer's message is related to what is given to each age. Like the beginning of the creation of God. And what does it end? See, he's the beginning of the creation of God. The prophet said, we're the rest of that creation. And what does it end? It ends that you will sit with me in my throne, not on, in my throne. We'll get back to that Wednesday. As I sit with my Father in his throne. Now, remember, when Jesus said that, where he's holding it to. Right now. This is where we come to the position, and that's what I want you to see. So let's just read a little bit. Revelation 2. We've covered each one of the overcomers and the things, so just drop down on each one of them. We'll pick up the message. Verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and thou hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience and for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Now we think it changes. Watch. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. See, you think it changes. But just remember, now we'll get back and read what the prophet said. He's speaking to, he's bringing one message that will condemn the false vine, but will exalt, you know, or carry on the true vine. But it's one message. We've not got a message to the bride, and a message to the foolish virgins, and a message to the Jews. But when we receive it in the correct order, that's what it will be to us. But that's when we receive it. So watch what he's saying now. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now that's to all, alright? Verse 9, the next age. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know that the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee a crown of life. That's true and false vine. It's what is offered. Now keep that in mind now. This is one message. Now you're going to see when we get, the Lord willing, to the end of the message, if I have time, why the denominations are dead. But yet, they'll have to be judged. Now if they're dead, and they're divorced, do you agree? They're put away, right? Well, why will they have to answer for being a prostitute? Why will they have to answer for being a bad wife? I'm letting you think. They'll have to answer one day. So will you and I if we reject this message. Then you'll understand why Brother Branham said, and I've tried to get this to you, where he said in 62 now, I'm not certain, but it's 60 or 62. He said the Baptist is just now become a denomination. Now we know there's a denomination over 100 years ago. You'll see that when this message come in the end time, it condemned everything, and every church then went into death. All right. Now follow it then. Verse 13, second chapter. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast dared them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come against thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Right, verse 19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith, thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. How many of you remember the last days of your time in organized religion when the women preachers started coming into view? Come on. You see, it's speaking to all of us, that woman Jezebel. Right? And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. Now there's a two-part of that one on the other, but let's drop on over. Verse 2 of the third chapter. Be watchful and strengthen the things which that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before the God. Now could that be any of us? You understand what I'm trying to bring? Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. Now how much could I just stop with each verse and bring it right down to where we're at? Now come on. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defied their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my name, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. All right? Now we've done read the one to the Laodicean. All right? Now don't take that and try to divide to see which one is the true and false. Take it as the prophet has said it, and we'll read it. It's one message. What you do with the message will determine which side you're on. But it's offered to all. He doesn't distinguish between. He lays the message down for everybody to make a choice. But as I said, we like to read where, oh yeah, we like this, but we don't like to read where you've left your first love. How much could we turn that around to see the people and how what you've left your, a lot of you've left your first love with the burning desire to be at church. When you used to, you wouldn't miss for nothing. You see what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about sicknesses and things. I'm talking, that's plain, right? But it's true. So maybe God is speaking, maybe we're to go back and read each age to relate it to our lives. I started to do that as we were going through the ages. And I thought, no, I'll wait until the end, and then I'll just bring one message to try to get the point across of, to me, what happens in the church ages. God is speaking to the true and the false. You've never heard a man in any of the theological terms or anything could do as this prophet has done. That could take one wheat plant, go in the church age book, take one wheat plant and make it true and false vine in the same one wheat plant. Now there's no theologian ever been able to do that. They covered the wheat plant, they covered the tares and the wheat. Oh yeah, they could go that away. But Brother Branham put it right down into one wheat plant and showed you how that when that stalk, when it dried up and died, God moved on to another stage. But he didn't cut that down. So they're still guilty. What's going to make the last days that were the book of Revelation called her the old mother whore? What makes her a whore if she's been totally annihilated? What makes the old mother whore and the harlot daughters? We're easy to say the harlot daughters is the same as mother whore, but what made mother whore a whore? What does it matter about one that has no husband? We'll get down to it in a minute. You'll see the denominations still have a husband. That's what makes it to be that away. Oh, no, no, they've been dead and put away. Wait till we get to it. Let's just cover what the prophet had to say first. All right. Look what he says about this now. Look on your notes. This is taken from page 225 and 226 of the Church Age book. Man, this verse, I want you to drop down to verse 23 and see the proof of a great truth that I've been bringing to your attention all along. Now listen. He said he's been doing it all along now. I will kill her children with death. All the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. I have been saying right along that there are actually two churches. Though the Spirit speaks to both of them in each age, as though they were but one. Now, I didn't say that. You might have thought a while ago that I made up a statement. Brother Branham said he speaks to them as one. Did you hear that? I've been saying right along that there are actually two churches, though the Spirit speaks to both of them in each age, as though they were but one. Now that's done for a reason, so hang on to it. Here it is plainly stated that there are churches. And it states just as plainly that some of those churches most evidently do not know that he is the one who searcheth the reins and the heart. He's going to prove to them that is so. Now then, what churches will be those that do not know this truth? Of course, it is a false vine group, because the true believers certainly know that judgment begins at the house of God, and they being God-fearing, God judge themselves that they be not judged. And see, you got to make your choice now. If you make your choice, then you judge yourself. Now, why does God call these churches his churches, even though they're a false vine? The truth of the matter is that they're Christians. Now, to someone out there that doesn't have this to read off of, you better go back and check the book. The truth of the matter is that they're Christians. But they are not Christians of the Spirit. They are Christians of the flesh. They are bearing the name in vain. Mark 7:7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. But indeed they are Christians, for what else could they be? A Mohammedan is a Mohammedan. That is his religion, no matter how he lives, because he subscribes in theory to what the Quran teaches. In the same way, a Christian is a Christian as long as he subscribes to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, born of a virgin, was crucified and died and rose again. that he is the Savior of mankind and so forth. In fact, in the Laodicean age, there will be those who call themselves Christians because they subscribe to the fine qualities of Jesus while reserving to them the right, themselves, the right to deny his deity. Christian Science have done that already, as well as multitudes who preach a social gospel. He is a nominal Christian and belongs to the church, but he is not a true and spiritual believer. That kind of a believer is one who has been baptized into the body of Christ and is a member of him, but nonetheless, it is in God's order that the tares grow up with the wheat, and they are not to be uprooted. You remember Jesus said, don't, they said, tires, he said, don't uproot them. He said, you pull up the tires. You pull up the tires, you pull up the wheat. So evidently, it's got to be real close together, right? This is the command of God. Their day for binding and burning is coming, but not yet. 262, Church Age book. He's reading Revelation 3:14. Of course, the word names means people, as it says in Acts 1:15 concerning those in the upper room. The number of names together were about 120. But to me, it goes far beyond just signifying people. It brings out that truth that is set forth in every age, which was spoken to us by our Lord with great emphasis. It is this. The church system of those ages is made up of two vines, true and false. God, in his own sovereign purpose, has put them all together, calling them the church. See, in this age, how he rebuked them, saying unto the church, which is, not churches are, in Sardis, but lumping them together, the church which is. Now, if you go, you won't find that in the scripture. You don't find that to the Sardis age. It's each one of them to the ages. I mean, to the churches. Every age is to the churches. All right? But see, get what he's saying. God, in his own sovereign purpose, has put them all together, calling them the church. See, in this age, how he rebuked them, saying, unto the church which is, not churches are. They're churches which is. Our church which is. You find that, church which is, but it's like the Laodicean over in the different writings in the Bible. Not our. So he's not telling, because it's not in the church that this is covering, you know, not to the Sardis, but lumping them together, the church which is. He's showing you each church age, it's words which is. It says churches to each church age, but the church which is. The church which is in Ephesus. The church which is in Smyrna. The church which is. That's what he's showing us. Because there is no scripture about the Sardis saying church where the other says churches. So he's trying to show you a point. See, if you listen to the point. To try to get talking to the church. One church. True and false in one church. That's the point of the whole thing. My whole point. I know thy works. You're dead. Your works are unfulfilled. There he goes. And then he goes on. This church in Sardis have a few people in them. And he carries it down to the true saints, pleasing God and thanks. All right. Look over to number 3. This is page 366, Church Age book. From our studies, we have already learned that much of the revelation is totally misunderstood. Now listen. Read it real careful now. Already learned that much of the revelation is totally misunderstood because we have not formally known that the church spoken of and spoken to in this book does not refer to the pure ecclesiae, ever how you pronounce that word, the elect. It doesn't speak that. The body of Christ. It doesn't speak that. The bride. It doesn't speak that. But it speaks to the entire body of people who are called Christians, whether they be true or merely nominal, all Israel, not Israel. So all Christians are not Christians. Thus we learn that the church is made up of two vines, the true and the false. The two vines are motivated by two kinds of spirits. One has the Holy Spirit, while the other is endued with the spirit of Antichrist. Both claim to know and be known of God. Both purport to speak for God. Both believe certain very basic truths and differ on others. But since both bear the name of the Lord, being called Christians, and by such name bearing, obviously claim a relationship to Him, God calls it marriage. God now holds them both responsible to Him, and therefore speaks to each. They claim to be Christians. Like I said now, what makes it that the denominations, the Catholic, the Lutheran, died many, many years ago, denominated, been put away in divorcement, right? Why would God then condemn them? It's like He'd just wipe them off. They wouldn't have no court of appeal. But see, they claim to be Christians. You don't go to a Baptist church and they say, we're not Christians. Right? You wouldn't go down to the Catholic church and the Pope get up and say, I want to declare to y'all a new doctrine we got. None of us are Christians. No. Every denomination there is claims to be married to Jesus Christ, right? And by the claim that they are married to Him, He calls it marriage. That's what the prophet just said. Then making them responsible. No matter what a church is, whether it be Lulaites or Hulites, we all claim to be Christians. And by our claim to be Christians, we will be judged if we are not. We will be judged as a prostitute. That's why I called her and said a moment ago, the old mother whore. Why is she a whore? Because she's left her husband and gone out and whored him. But she still claims to be a Christian. She still claims Him. So Brother Brown said, let's read that. But since both by the name of the Lord, being called Christians, they are such name-bearing, obviously, claim a relationship to Him, God calls it marriage. God holds them both responsible to Him and therefore speaks to each. Right at the same time. So in each church age, He was speaking to the church. Alright? And you notice this in Brother Brown's message. Because my wife, she always says, honey, don't use the word church, use the word bride. But Brother Branham always used the word church. Very rarely do you use the word bride. Because see, Brother Branham was speaking to the church. True and false vine. Now I gave you that on the last quotation that you got over on the back one where he talks about it. How that the one messenger is the messenger to the true church. He speaks for God by revelation to the churches, both true and false. Brother Branham was speaking to the church. The church at Laodicea. It was the church at Ephesus Paul was speaking to. In that church was true and false vine. Are you listening now? See, that's why it's written like it is. But we want to divide it. It was not the false vine that lost their first love. It didn't matter about the false vine losing her love. It was the true bride that lost her first love. It was the true bride in the ages that had the Jezebel doctrine. Where did we come from? Who wants to name what church you come from and tell me that it wasn't a Jezebel doctrine? So what makes the problem? What was wrong with Israel? They said, we believe in one true and living God. Right? What made the problem? What has made the problem with the trouble? See, we want to take something like the Old Testament and just chop them off and say, well, that was the Jehovah, the Old Testament's bride. This is Jesus, the bride, you know. But just remember, when they made the claim of believing one true and living God and to be the seed of Abraham, Jesus went straight at them then and said, if you was Abraham's seed, you'd believe me. He said, you'd do the works of Abraham. You know what the works of Abraham is? To believe the one that was sent. That's the works of God. The works of God is to believe on those whom God sends. But we've got to, the point now I'm trying to get you, we've got to decide who we are. And we're in the end time. We cannot decide, listen, we cannot decide that we are the bride because of the move of God among us. We cannot declare we are the bride because of the signs and wonders. We cannot declare we are of God because of the gifts. Because that this age shows better than all ages that He poured out His Spirit upon what? All flesh. Come on. He poured out His Spirit on all flesh. Anointed ones are here. I believe there was anointed ones to each church age. You know. We've come down to the apex of the anointing, or the prophet said, the perfect anti-anointing. To where it's a genuine Holy Spirit. Now am I right? The genuine Holy Spirit poured out upon true and false vine. And if you go to the signs and wonders, you fall on the false vine side most of the time because they don't deal with anything. They just deal with getting healings and signs and wonders. See, they're not concerned with a rapture. My point of what I'm trying to get you to see is the desire that we have in our heart, the desire that we put forth, the thing we struggle for will prove which side we are on before the change comes. It's easy to look over there and see. But what about before then? What's your desire? Do you desire the Word more than anything? Or do you want the Word plus? Or do you want the plus and no Word? Oh, no. I just read where the prophet said, and I'll be glad to give you this quote. He said, they take so much of the Word, and they make it work. Now, there's no church in the world today, I don't care who they are, that doesn't use some biblical background. Even to the Mohammedans and things. A biblical background. Right? That's why I read the things I read to you. Go back and read them over again. But get the last one. They want His name. By wanting His name, it's just like a... Well, let's go over there to it. Look at Isaiah 4. I tried many years ago to preach this and it didn't seem to strike home. Well, let's just read it. Now, don't go to verse 2 because we'll get back to that because that's going to be how we know, but just get verse 1, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. And in that day, 7 women shall take a hold of 1 man. Now, I gave you the 2 quotes, the only ones that the prophet gave of this. And they asked him a specific question. What did this mean and what did it apply to? His only answer was to the bad part of today, of the marriage and divorce, the situation. Because, see, that's what it's saying. In that day, 7 women shall take a hold of 1 man. It doesn't matter how much they're married and divorced and everything, you know, and you see it today instead of, I think it ought to be, I'm just honest, I think it ought to be that if you're going down and get a divorce, I think it ought to be automatic that the woman returns to her maiden name immediately. I think she ought to return to her maiden name immediately. Just like quick as they signed the papers for the divorce to go through, she ought to go back to her maiden name. He said, well, why? Because she's divorced. But they can keep the name. And the reason they want to keep the name is they want some inheritance down the line in case there is a little bit left over, or to be able to draw Social Security, or to be able to... Right? Is that true? I think the immediate time they signed the divorce, they ought to go back to be whatever their maiden name was. And no inheritance. Now I'm talking about if it's a woman's fault. I hope everybody understands me. I ain't talking about if it's the man's fault. I'm not bad. If it's her fault, she's caught running around and things, she ought to go back to her maiden name and no inheritance. That's just me. Okay. So I get off of that. You forgive me for stating my point. And in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, naturally, women want to have a husband's name to be the father of the children. Right? That's simple. But get away from the natural and go to the spiritual. And the spiritual, then the seven church ages, and in those seven church ages, there is a church that is married to Christ. You said, no, them denominations. I didn't say Christ was married to them. Now, so don't misquote me. They're married to Christ. Why? Because they call themselves Christians. Alright? They're joined and they call themselves Christians. Alright? So that means they're married. And that's why the old mother oil winds up. The problem is because she has a living husband. Come on. That's why you sisters can't divorce, right? Why? Because you got a living husband and then remarry. You can divorce, but you can't remarry. Why? Because you got a living husband. That's why we had to have the grace of marriage and divorce. Because that would come all the way down in the natural, but it comes down in the spiritual. You got seven church ages. And each church age is claiming to be married to Christ. And their problem is their claim to make. So they will be judged as being a bad wife. Even though they were denominated hundreds of years ago. That's what I said. 1962, I believe it is, somewhere right in there, the prophet said the Baptist has just now become a denomination. I thought, now, Brother Branham, I come from there, and we'd done denominated 100 years ago. We done died a long time ago. But you see, really, they never, no denomination, nowhere, found out their real husband until this last day. Amen. Here stood the Word in the last days and the little man. And when they turned them down, there's where they died. There's where all the church ages died. There's where all the denominations died, was when the truth was stood here in the last days. Because see, they could say, well, we never met the truth. And Brother Brown said they would not be judged. Now come on. They're not judged. But in the end time, the Son of Man would stand back here again with the Word to turn him down. Would not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. And you say, well, there's a lot of people. Sure, that's right. A lot of people never heard of Brother Branham. There's a lot of people today who have not heard of Brother Branham. There's a lot of people that's going to be given eternal life one day because they never heard the real truth. They lived the best they could do with what they had. But what about those that heard this end time message? What about those 300 preachers that was up there? And that was what was left. If you'll get the real story, there was 300 of them left and wanted the tapes on water baptism and things, and not a one of them come out to get baptized. But check back before then, a big portion of the people that done got, preachers done got up and walked out. Because they seen what he's talking about. The church age messenger speaks to the church instead of God, right? Or instead of God, in God's stead, if you want to call it, make it correct. They speak as God to the church. And what the people do with that message will determine whether or not they're the bride. But get what I'm talking about. God don't have to do it. Do you understand me? We do ourselves what we're doing. He didn't make no denominational church denominate. But when they turned this message down in 1962 would be enough. You don't have to wait until the seals were broke. 1962, Brother Branham stood there with the faith of the fathers. They had turned the Bible down when they wouldn't walk on with him. You agree? That was the one they claimed the word. They claimed the word was their husband. Just like Israel claimed to believe in that one true and living God. But when he stood there, they died. And Brother Brown said that's eternally separated. All right. What about you and I? They said, Brother Branham, please explain the meaning of the scriptures and when it'll come to pass. He said, well, it's the end today. Now, that was basically his point because he goes, well, brother, it's pretty near that bad now. Then he goes down into the next one and talks about that's the end time where we're living now, marriage, divorce, and prostitution, and what more. 7 women will take a hold of 1 man and say, let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. It's reproach to have children without being married. But if you got the marriage certificate, even though, as I said, when I said that a while ago about you ought to go back to their maiden name, you take a woman, she marries a man, you know, maybe she don't have any kids, but they divorce, and then she has a dozen kids. She still got them named by the same one. She can still put their name down as the same one. You say, no, the daddy won't let them. You ain't in the law like we are today. They'll let you do anything you want to. They're going to put a name on there, somebody. It might be Mears Jones, son by Mears Smith, number 3. But they're going to write something on that birth certificate. But you see what I'm talking about? It doesn't matter how many kids a married woman has. It takes away her reproach. And see, it don't matter how many denominations then there is. They all claiming Christians to take away the reproach. They want to be married to him as a saving grace of going to heaven. But not as a reality as a bride. See, it's up to you and I. So in each church age, he's speaking to the church. And he's still right now speaking to the church. It's left up to you and I to decide which side we're on. Well, Brother Dale, I just never thought it like that. I really don't. Now I am confused because I don't know what side I'm on. Well, it's about time the altar's open. You know? I believe it's about time to find out. You say, yeah, but I believe every word. You go right across the street over here. Man sat right down in the Bible study the other day and he said, Brother Dale told me and wait. He said, God led me and showed me the one true and living God. And said he showed it to me, now not from us. He said he showed it to me and said he showed me over and over going backwards and forth until I believe in one true and living God. Okay. Stage number two, if he ever comes back, is going to be water baptism will be our topic. Because that's what I asked Brother Dick. Yes, Brother Addison. Yeah, I believe in one God. I said, you got it right? Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen the manifestation like you use it, but that's good. And all, but I believe in it. I believe in it now. And I said, oh, through more, he would bring it to me day in and day out. I let him. I just kept leading him on and leading him on and leading him on. And day in and day out, he was just studying the Bible and talking to me about the name and the things and the one God. And I said, you really believe that? He said, yeah. I said, what about this water baptism? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, I've always wondered about it. Tell me. He said, I've wondered about that a long time. He said, now tell me about it. Did you see? You can find out whether you believe in one God or not. Because if you won't get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't tell me you believe in one God. You're still scared that the old Catholic Church has got a hold on you. You're afraid you're going to get excommunicated. You ought to know by now. Some of you have been around here 30 years almost, haven't you? Brother Collie, 71, that's 35 years. 36 years or something. I think it's about time we ought to know we ain't going to get excommunicated. Because we don't agree with the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, I think it's about time we ought to realize we're not going to get excommunicated. We've excommunicated ourselves because of our belief of the truth. But you see, at the same day, yeah, and in that day, that's this day. The prophet said this is the time of it now. That's this day. All right? And in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, and only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now watch this. In that day, the same day that this other is doing what they're doing, verse 2 says, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped out of Israel. Let's see if I can find it. Page 30. Why, little Bethlehem, he said, that branch is the bride. Now, when he comes to the opening of the seals, as I said, he'd always said church, church. He'd always say church, church. When he came to the opening of the seals, he said, I call you, what? Bride. So at the same time this other is coming into being, to where the churches are going to be judged because that they claim that they're Christians. They have the claim of being married to Christ. They're going to be judged by that. But at the same time, there's going to be a group of people that will be the branch. Now that branch runs all the way back to Jesus. He's the branch. That goes all the way back to David and the branch. But in this situation, it's the bride. Page 26, flashing the red lights of his coming is another one. Listen. Verse 3, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, now Zion is the bride, Mount Zion, you know, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of that, there's the bride, the daughters of Zion, daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of the flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat and for a place of refuge for a covenant from storm and from rain. Now, he's not speaking there. Now watch. Verse 1 is to the church. Are you listening? 2 through 6 is speaking about the bride. He's making the difference. He's making the difference of what it's going to be in the end time. And that's why I love that last church age when we get to it. We haven't got to the overcomer yet. That you'll sit with me in my throne. Not on, it says in. My throne or domain. As I have overcome and sit down with my Father in His throne. Now when we get back to that position, maybe surprising the way we pick up the next message. We get back to that position, you're going to see that truly in the end time He's brought back to His rightful position. And when He's brought back to His rightful position, then He, not she, He will declare who's bride and who's not. He'll declare who's true and who's not. That's what we just read there. And in that day, verse 2, Isaiah 4, shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. What? In the Lamb's Book of Life. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. So we must have had some filth. Daughters of Zion is the bride. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. There's your cherubims and seraphim. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. But how many of you have paid attention to one thing that I've tried to teach you? And if your Bible doesn't speak that way, let me read it to you. Verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the capital L-O-R-D. He's going to do these things. But verse 4, when the L-O-R-D, lowercase. Is that the way your Bible reads it? Small letter. Shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. Verse 5, it goes back and says, and the capital L-O-R-D will create. Now, what have I tried to teach you that means? If it's capital L-O-R-D, it's the word God of glory speaking. But if it's L-O-R-D in the lowercase, it's Jesus Christ down here. Who's going to take away the filth of the daughters of Zion? Well, the Bible's right when it said, the Lord said unto my Lord. But that's not many gods. This is what I was bringing out last Wednesday. This is what I've tried to bring out to you. That when you say, the pillar of fire come over here, just don't leave it blank. That's what everybody does. They paint a picture and then just bring it over here with a big light. You're leaving a blank. Why do that? When all the God that covers time and eternity cannot be brought down into human elements. We must go there for the rest of what we're doing. We're just getting enough here to be able to understand when we get there. He said, but Brother Dale, all God was. Yeah, I'll agree with you. I agree with the prophet. You know that Brother Branham, I was looking at a quote this morning where he said, see there, all God was, he poured into, let's see, talking about in the him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he said, see there? He said, if there's another God, said he's a powerless God. That's the words he used. He said, see there, if there's another God, said he's all powerless. He said, because the Bible said all the power. But see what's to be revealed in this world, right? I call you bride. I speak to you as bride. I don't speak to you. That's why I don't like to preach like other preachers that likes to beat on women all the time and their hair and their dress and their clothes and the things you do and the spirits. A certain brother that I always enjoyed listening to him, but every 3 months he's on the same thing, spirits in the church. Every 3 months he made his circle and come back to spirits in the church, spirits in the church, spirits in the church. Well, evidently they didn't get out because 3 months later he come back to spirits in the church. But listen, I don't like to preach about your hair and your dress and your clothes and your attitudes and your laying out of churches and doing things like that. You know why? Because I realize I must be talking to false vine. That's the only reason I don't. The day comes that all I've got to do is to beat you with the word. That day I've just quit. Sure, as a human being, sometimes I feel like it. I feel like I do when my kids would do wrong and just want to take them up and just wear them out. But what good will it do? I've told you, and it sure, how does it fit? I'm caught back up with what I missed when I was in Brazil. All those services I missed, I caught back up in a hurry. And like I told you, if you miss a service and don't hear that service before the next week or something, you're backslid. I don't like that statement, Brother Dale. Well, good. Good. I must be preaching to the false vine. Now, let me say it this way. All the true vine should holler amen. Well, I got one right and no amen. Who am I talking to? You see, that's why I don't like to preach like that, because I don't like to think that any of you will ever be lost. I got too much time invested in all of you. Sorry to speak like that as a human being. I've got too much time invested in you. I've got too much preaching invested into your soul for me to ever consider any of you would be lost. If you are, you're going over the blood of Jesus Christ and the crying and longing of your pastor. You don't like me, you don't like my ways, you don't like my attitude, but you surely wouldn't like it if I ever dropped down low enough to where that I could start beating you with the truth. Now, I pause there for you to think on it. I said beating you with the truth because I'll never preach what ain't the truth. I said many years ago I'll just start calling it out. I haven't done it yet. Why? Because what good is it going to do? What good is it going to do? Sister Trudy, all the way home today, is going to worry about what I said this morning. Because that's the human mind. See, the devil's going to tell her that. She's riding down the road and it's going, he was talking about you. But you see what I'm talking about, church? What makes the denominations to be an unclean wife when, as far as God is concerned, he has already written them a divorcement? What caused Israel to be a prostitute to the word? Is because that they claim to be Christians. What makes Lula the problem is we claim to be Christians. But to him that overcometh, will sit with me in my throne right here. Because remember, his throne now, and I'll say this and stop because it's where we're going. His throne goes into the throne of David. We know that. I know the quotes. So don't run out ahead of me and try to study up too far. Just remember what I'm talking about. Go study all you want to, but just remember what I'm talking about. This will climax in the millennium as the son of David, but he can't go to the millennium as the son of David from son of God. He must come back to be son of man. Then he can go to the millennium as son of God. I mean son of David. So we're going to get it here. We are the people that's going to be alive when this thing climaxes. When the daughters of Zion comes to where God will create a bride. He calls you bride. No longer does He say church. I'll tell you a little head if you'll read it. Read chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Revelations and see if He's talking to the church there. The end of this age, He's no longer talking to the churches. Because this age ends with the death of all things and the life of the bride. Not the church. Brother Branham, they said, Brother Branham, you don't believe the church goes through the tribulation. He said, yes, I believe the church goes through the tribulation. But he said, not the bride. So you could cut that off when you say, Brother Branham, yeah, church goes through the tribulation. Then you could cut that off and splice it out and hold that half of that quote. That's why I give you all of it. See? Because you could say, Brother Brown believes the church is going through the tribulation. Then over here he said the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Then now you splice the tape to make it say what you wanted it to say. The church will go through the tribulation, but the bride goes in the rapture. Come on, Brother Dick. Come on, musician. Keep it to this point. God speaks to all. Let's see, I believe I put that title to it. Got to get it from Brother Al. Speaks to the church. That's the title. Speaks, plural, to the church. Because he does until the last. But there is nothing, now listen, and you'll see where we're going to drop right back to. There is no church involved in any reward that is given to the overcomer. No matter what age you're in. Come on. No matter what age you're in, God speaks to them at Ephesus. Yeah, but the last was an overcomer's message. When you get down to this age has the overcoming of all overcoming. Because we're going to do it here. They're promised there. Go check them. I'll let you do this. I will not blot out your name. I will not. But in this age, it brings him here. He's going to wash away the filth from the daughters of Zion. Well, we're right here. Let's stand. Go ahead, Ron. 260 in the red book. Let's stand.
A wonderful Savior.
Risen. Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Right. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth. Anybody have a need? Love, and he covers me there with his hand, and he covers me. Do away with the filth of the daughters of Zion while we're alive, because you're not going to sit on the throne with the Son of Man until you've come through the stature of a perfect man to the Son of God. as the faith of the fathers. Let me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cloud. Anybody have a need? That owes the driver. Remember, we'll prove which we are. We will prove whether we're proud or not. We're going to prove it, Danny, while we're alive, who we are. Because that pride will not be defeated. The church is already defeated. But the bride can't be. He's quit talking to the church. When you're in that seventh church age, he's not talking to the church anymore. He's talking to the bride. In the cleft of the rock that shadows a drive. He hideth my life in the depths of and he covers me there with his hand. And he covers me there with his hand. Listen to the last verse. When clothed in his bride, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation is wonderful. I'll shout with the men on high. He hides my soul. Everybody waited on this age. All the church ages are waiting on this age. All those six ages are waiting on this age to become what God said she already is. Just step right on over. Just step right on over. Why? Because he quits talking to the church. And he talks to the bride. Many blessings undeserved. That's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Is he? So many blessings deserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Sing that to one another as you go. I'm a new creation. Father, just bless the little church. Be with her on the way home, Lord. Give everybody a safe journey. In your love, in Jesus' name. Or do it again.